This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ozzie Guillen.
Hello, everyone. I'm back.
White Sox pre- and post-analyst for Chicago Sports Network.
La Pantera. My man is trying La Pantera. There we go.
2005 World Series winning manager of the White Sox.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series.
No hold bar baseball opinions.
I'm managing one guy. I almost start crying. Adam Dunn.
Yeah.
People ask me, why do you keep playing him? Don't blame me. Blame Katie and Rick. They signed him. I had to play him.
Well, did you give Adam Dunn a mental break, or he just...
I gave him two bottles of vodka with orange juice.
Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Got to tell you, Mr. David, a lot of people think journalism is dead. Journalism is a 3-1 favorite in the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, my goodness. Saturday. There will be more people rooting for journalism than there have been in a long time.
Oh, and we should tell you, the winning never stops at Four Winds Casinos with locations in New Buffalo and South Bend. Four Winds Casinos, your entertainment escape. And we are delighted to welcome in Ozzie Guillen. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Ozzie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Very well. Good, good.
So, first of all, Mr. David just said here that there's a new Ozzie in town. I don't know if you saw it, but the Bears drafted a player named Ozzie Trapillo. So, you've got some competition.
By the way, wow, that competition, that guy's actually a humongous kid, you know. By the way, the Ozzie spelled the wrong way. The O-Z-Z-I-E, that's a real Ozzie.
That's it, Ozzie. You're right.
I hope that kid got the same type of career I have. At least they can have the Bears to get what they want to get and get it from there. But it's nice to see somebody, young kid, try to make it in a very, very tough sport.
Yeah, let's hope that he is a champion the way that you became a champion in Chicago. But with the White Sox, they are a long way from celebrating anything right now, Ozzie. Another tough night at the ballpark last night, but the news of the day related to Colson Montgomery being sent to Arizona for personal instruction. What was your reaction to that decision, and how badly do you think he needs it?
You know what? Be honest with you, that's the way baseball is right now. There's no doubt about it. I think that surprised me because I think this kid got all the tools. But not because you have tools, you're going to be a good player. You know what I mean? I think this kid, what I see on TV, him, his swing is very long. Very long, too long. And it's a dead pool hitter. And when you had that tendency to put the ball and swing long, you had a chance to fail a lot. You got power. You know, it's a pretty good athlete. Hopefully going there, helping to get better and get to Chicago soon.
You know, it seems like a fairly desperate move, Ozzie. I mean, it seems like they've got this this kid that they're relying upon. They gave him an opportunity. I know he had the balky back, but he goes down to the minor leagues. And as we're talking about, he had a terrible year last year in the minor leagues. He had a really good fall league, you know, the Arizona Fall League he did well in. And they took that as the example of the breakthrough. And now here he is going there for a couple of weeks. It's an unusual thing to do. If you had 2 weeks with the kid in Arizona, how would you change his swing? What would you do to improve him as a player?
well, that kid got 500 at bat last couple of years and it'll still be the same. I don't think in 2 weeks you might help him.
Right.
I think everything is mental. But like I see physically, I think that the swing is too long. Swing is too long. I'm going to have problems with that, not just big 11. Every level in baseball, you're going to have problems. Hopefully they fix it.
Hopefully how do you fix that? What do they do with how do you shorten the swing?
Yeah. Be honest with you, he got to fix it himself. I don't care who is the teacher. I don't care if you will bring Walter Reina here. If these kids not put together, try to show his swing and fix it mentally, we got to talk to him. I believe you get better playing. But they had a new philosophy, a new type of baseball. And that's why, we have to wait and see how we react working with, in that 1 hour, take it to the next level.
Ozzie, when you have a top prospect like this struggling to the extent that Colson Montgomery is, and now you're sending him with this unorthodox move to Arizona for some personal instruction, is it overstating it to wonder what this says about the entire development approach for the White Sox organization?
Well, you know, you can coach them how they're going to act, how you're going to take the temperature. Everybody got different philosophy about hitting, man. That's everybody. Everybody come with different ideas, different things. That's what they confuse the kids. They should go out there and say, "Yeah, listen, what you want to do, what you think is the best for you, how you feel better, how you feel more comfortable, and take it from there." Because try to break him down, try to change his swing like he already played AAA.
Right.
I don't think that's going to work. No chance. I hope it does, but he got to tell him, "Hey, I feel better like this. I got to stay like this." The biggest thing about hitting is keep your head down, and he's not doing that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, they're not hitting, period, end of story, right? Yesterday was like the 20th time this year, and they haven't played that many games, really, where they've been under three runs. What's with that? Why they just don't have major league players, enough of them that can hit regularly? Why can't they score runs?
Yeah, I tell you why, man. Why should they, I think the league, is the White Sox, is the American League play only three innings, White Sox be undefeated? I don't know why the reason they score early. By the way, they don't have a great leadoff hitter either. And then, they be struggling on the top of that. But for some reason, they score early. But after that, they disappear. Then they come back in the ninth, eighth, and ninth against the good ones. It seems like that, every game happened the same way. And they have to be more consistent. They be very bad with men in scoring position. They don't do anything to get better so far. I know they're working. I know they spend the time there trying to figure it out. But one thing's working and one thing is get it done. And hopefully, they start getting better because, man, poor guys pitching every day, pitching well, and they don't get anything from those outings those guys have.
Ozzie, let's go back to the weekend in Sacramento with the Sox against the A's. For three straight games, Will Venable is trying to be creative. He used an opener. I think that when Jonathan Cannon's situation, it worked because he was better when he came in relief. I don't know if it's something the Sox will stay with. What did you think of the move then, and do you think the Sox will stick with it throughout the season?
Wow, I don't know if they're going to stick out without the season. Right? But if they see they have better outing with that, I think they will. But, it was good. I don't know if it was that great, but it had been working for them. And I don't know exactly what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. But, that's a new era of baseball. Players do what they told them to do. I don't think the White Sox players, isn't the kids, they're not in the position to tell them what to do. But I think they're going to do it more often because it has been work for them. But, hey, that's a new thing in baseball, and they have to do whatever they tell them to do.
Why do you believe the White Sox are not bringing up Tim Elko? Is that
That's a shock, man.
Yeah.
That's a shock. I don't know if it's about money-wise, about timing, about anything. But they say, get a bat from one of the players. Says, listen, this guy can be a DH. He can play first base. Mm-hmm. He's the best. He's the best pinch hitter they have, and he's in Triple A. And you know one thing about Will, he loves to pinch hit. He loves to pinch hit. Then why you not go there and bring this guy that he can do three things, can resolve three problems for you. This kid earned it. They deserve that. I want to ask Chris Gayle about it yesterday, but he was in the right situation. But I think they should give the kids a chance because what he be doing in the minor league?
You know, it's a power show. He had like five homers.
He's got eight homers in his last 11 games.
I mean, what the hell is that? Why, and what could they use? Home runs.
By the way, it's a funny thing because he's every at bat. You know, I seen every at bat this kid have in minor league when we're in the studio. And the home run is a straight set of field, opposite way. You know, I mean, this has been doing pretty good. Obviously, struck out a little bit, but you need power. You got power. You need a first base can help you. A DH can help you. And also, a pinch hitter can help you.
So, Ozzie, the White Sox and the Cubs executed a trade for Gage Workman. So, he's a third baseman, but he has versatility in the infield. He can even maybe play the outfield in a pinch. Miguel Vargas is the third baseman of the future and also struggling at the plate in the present. How would you use Gage Workman if you were Will Venable?
I don't know exactly because I don't know him very well. I never see him play. I give him some bad. Vargas got to step it up. Vargas got to step it up to play because this has been play okay at third base defensively. But I got to step it up at the play. I tried to move him down the lineup to see if that worked. But, you know, hopefully that trade – fix the problem the White Sox have, but I got to wait see because I only seen it yesterday a little bit, and I was impressed, but I had to wait to see him get more at bats.
I mean, you know, they could probably move Vaughny to Arizona too if they really wanted to. I think it's a, and I know I could be wrong, Ozzie, but what's more hollow than saying a guy's unlucky? I get it. He's hit balls where people are. But if he could hit him out of the park, or if he – like, I just don't know what to make of Vaughn.
Listen, hit the ball hard is overrated. Way overrated. You know, win games, hit the ball hard. Hit the ball when nobody can catch it. Hit the RBIs. I don't know who come up with that stat. Oh, I hit the ball hard 99%, but I'm hitting all 91. Overrated. The ball hit hard ball. He's the one lead the ballpark, but not the one to stay at the ballpark in big catch.
Thank you, Ozzie. The exit velocity is so much a stat that means nothing because, yeah, you can tell a lot of things, but if you're hitting it exactly where they're playing you, then it doesn't do you any good to hit 107 off the bat. It doesn't really matter, does it?
No. I remember Lester pitching for the Cubs a few years ago, I don't know, 3, 5, 4 years ago. They was worried about Lester getting everybody about hit the ball hard off him. And his ERA was 3.7. Who care? I don't care about how many runs they score against him or how many score we score. That the most overrated stat in history. But just, those guys making money, stealing money from Major League Baseball. You know, they...
Yeah. Vaughny,
I swear to God.
Vaughny's producing a catch radius.
I play this game.
Not an exit velocity.
I rattle. Call my wife. Say I got 4 hits. Oh, how hard you hit it? No, that boy. Look at the example yesterday. The Milwaukee Brewers. They have even hit the ball out of the ballpark, out of the infield. They scored 5 runs.
Perfect example. They manufacture runs. Pat Murphy knows how to manufacture runs. You get the right manager and the right lineup. They can do that.
They said, and besides that, they all by 3 runs, lay in the game. They're bunning. Lay in the game. And nobody else do that. That's why I think they're going to have a good ball club in the future pretty soon.
So let's look at the Brewers and the White Sox tonight. Shane Smith, one of the bright spots for this season, the Rule 5 guy for the Sox, on the mound going against his former team. How would you explain what's working for him, Ozzie, and why he has become – I know it's only – April 30th, but he has been very consistent.
Hey, listen, man. The first day I see this kid throw the ball, his fastball is great. His changeup is outstanding, but the changeup is outstanding just because his fastball helped him to get a good changeup. He got a lot of, you know, big stones, and he go out there and go to pitch. I think this kid's still healthy. He's going to be the best pitcher the White Sox going to have in that rotation this year.
Yeah, I just don't understand when you look at everything that's going on with the Sox, why they're not trying to get more hitting in here. I mean, if Workman, you know, Vargas, you don't have to. You got three Rule 5 guys now on the roster, which says something about the way you're putting your team together. That you need to raid players that aren't considered, you know, good enough to keep on the team they're at, whether they are or not. And I think they got real lucky with the starting pitcher. I think that Workman can be a decent player. Play the guy. You're getting nothing out of Vargas. You're not taking him off the team, and bring up the Elko, who's hitting in the minor leagues. I don't understand why they're not improving their power when they don't have any.
Well, they're not going to have any. I think you see the last night, Pantera hit the home run. I don't think Pantera is the same hitter he was in the past. Now May is coming up. He's always been a better player. But Vonnie has been struggling since last year, not just this year. You know what I mean? I don't know why. In the past, he has been a good hitter. But right now, he's not doing nothing at all. I think put somebody around him to put a little pressure on himself. I don't say he's not working. I love that kid. I love it. I think he's a workaholic. He's a very professional. Played the game right. I wish he can help the White Sox a little bit better.
Ozzie, the three starters who were used in relief after the openers in the weekend, curious where your confidence level is with Sean Burke, Jonathan Cannon, and Davis Martin.
Well, they did a good job, and with that, they did it. You know, they pitched 6 innings, very clean. You know what I mean? I think they get a good, outstanding outing. But I think those guys should be out there and start the game. You know what I mean? That's my opinion. The left is not like, wow, look at what those guys are. They're pitching okay, one run, two runs, here and there. I like the one yesterday, pitched 2 innings. That's a plus. But I think they sooner or later, they got to come on and give those guys a chance to start the game.
Do you like the new uniforms, Ozzie? The City Connect tribute to the Bulls uniform?
I love it. I love it. By the way, I was the first one criticized them. Like, oh, what the hell they do it? But now I saw it. I touched it. I see the details. Outstanding. It's not even good. It's outstanding.
You wore it.
They did a great job doing that.
You had it on for the post game, Ozzie. You look like $1 million. That's why you like it, right? It looked good on you. You wore it well.
The only reason I wear it because first of all, I got it for free. That's the number one. And second of all, I get paid to win. That's the only reason I did. But I'm telling you guys, it's very beautiful stuff. Very, very nice.
It did look good on you and Chuck. You guys did a nice job. And you continue.
I look like a B.J. Armstrong. Chuck, you look like a, I don't know, Krukov or somebody else. I look like a B.J. Armstrong.
You did. That's a good blast from the past.
Yeah.
Great stuff, Oz.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Ozzie.
See you later.
I love my people. I love it, guys.
Take care. That is our guy, Ozzie Key, and that's the real Ozzie right there.
He had on the City Connect jersey.
I know.
And a scarf.
I know.
And it was, by that time, it was probably in the high 50s, maybe?
Yeah, and it's windy.
It was windy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was windy on that perch. And he does.
It's not summer yet, my friend.
No. You feel for those guys repeating themselves, finding new ways to describe the same thing.
But he's right. I mean, they've got to acknowledge that they're not scoring. Elko, I don't care whether he fits or not. He's got a power show going on, and that's something they don't have going on. They need his bat. Ditto, Gage Workman. I don't understand. When you got a guy like Vargas struggling the way he is, why do you have to stay with him? Because he's going to be the third baseman of the future. Let's see it happen.
Tobias Myers pitches tonight for the Brewers, and he's a right-hander. My thought would be, if you're not using Gage Workman in the lineup tonight, what are you waiting for? Because you got a left-handed matchup.
Why do you
that would be favorable. He's got to be hitting tonight, whether it's DH or third base. It's not like you need to try many different things, much like you're experimenting with the opener, much like you're taking an experimental approach with Colson Montgomery. Try some different combinations. Bring up Elko, start Workman, see what you got.
You know, and I know that this is just a very minor thing, but did you see that they did move Braden Montgomery up to Winston-Salem.
That's not that minor. Well, not when he's the best bright light in your organization.
I mean, there's a guy that's on the way.
Yes.
And that's a good thing to see happen. One of the guys they got from the Boston trade. I'm telling you.
Brad Montgomery. Yes. Kyle Teal's hitting.
Yes, he is.
They have depth at catcher. There are signs. Hagen Smith didn't have great command yesterday, but he did strike out 7. There are signs of life in the minors.
That's fair. But, you know, it's not enough. It's not
enough.
No. So, and there's no sign of life on the major league roster. So get some power in there. Get some people who can hit.
Get some pop.
All right. We've got a lot to get to. We'll be right back. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Making big plays in big moments is what it's about. And that's what Tyrese Halliburton is doing. But listen, the entire team played and made some plays. TJ was outstanding, I thought. Was able to get some. Oh, they still trying to clean it up. We got Antetokounmpo, we got Mathurin, and we got all kind of guys out here in the middle of this. The security's there. And it's Kevin Porter Jr. They're trying to get him out of there. They're trying to get Mathurin out of there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was the scene last night.
Chaos.
Absolute nonsense when the Milwaukee Bucks were eliminated for the second year in a row by the Pacers, and Tyrese Halliburton scores a bucket with – they came back from 7
after
down
the Milwaukee Bucks
seconds.
Blew it.
Milwaukee blew it.
They blew it.
And they got eliminated.
Yes.
And then Tyrese Halliburton's father, John, wait for it, a basketball referee, he came on the court and said some words
after the game
to
Rushed
Giannis.
Right up to Giannis, got in his face.
And Giannis didn't appreciate it.
No, he did not.
And now Giannis, okay, so here's the situation. They're eliminated from the playoffs.
They're done.
He's about to start a new 3-year deal.
That's true.
And he's going to sit down and talk to everybody.
He will.
Let me tell you something.
Without Dame Lillard next year.
Damian Lillard is, he blew his Achilles tendon.
That's hurts.
He misses hurts. Not just this series, he misses next year.
So that's 1 year without Dame Lillard in Milwaukee for Giannis to consider.
And I think the guy needs to just get in his car.
Change the scenery.
And head south.
South on 94.
And just
traffic will improve.
You want some tasty morsels.
Oh,
his name is Giannis for a reason.
We need to get Lou Kanellis on the deal.
We'll get Sweet Lou getting him over to the restaurant.
Yeah, get him over to Ovaly.
Ovaly's
got a standing reservation there.
And he can eat to his heart's content some of the greatest food known to man.
And it is delicious
Greek food by the
way. It is some of the best food you're going to find in Chicago at a restaurant. That will be one of the reasons that Giannis should consider heading south. But in all seriousness, as this conversation begins, and it's all over the national networks, it's all over the NBA media, where will Giannis end up next year? Where are possible trade destinations for Giannis? Look, yeah, we know the Lakers. They're going to be involved because they're like the Dodgers. They are always going to consider them a destination. You know about the Miami Heat. You know that maybe it'll be the Heat and the Lakers will be at the top of the conversation.
Oh.
Why can't the Bulls inject themselves into this conversation if one exists? Actually, they need to inject themselves into the conversation if one exists. If there's even a remote chance, Mully, of having a conversation where the Bucks are shopping Giannis, you need to find a way to make them consider it. Is that outlandish? Is that outrageous? Is that unrealistic?
We got to text her. My wife's from Greece. Her mom will cook for him. I got the mother-in-law. Hey, Giannis, just drive down and...
Okay,
yeah.
That's funny. Answer the question.
Yeah.
Do you think it's unrealistic?
Yeah. Yes, I think it's unrealistic. I don't believe that you're going to trade Giannis within your division. I don't think the fine folks in Milwaukee could handle a Craig Council slash Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh my gosh!
Double team.
Milwaukee sports media lose its mind.
Yeah, and what's next?
The flower
comes down as an offensive assistant.
The flower wilting. Yes, that's what's next. The flower wilting in every Bears game.
Oh, my God.
But, Molly, okay, I get it. It's unrealistic, perhaps. Aren't you craving for some creativity from the Bulls this offseason?
Listen.
We have talked about the best way for them to get out of this mediocrity is to have a disgruntled star fall into their laps. It's probably not going to be the Joker.
No.
They're going to come back and win that series. They're going to probably make a run and end up in the Western Conference Finals and maybe in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, Jamal Murray took care of business.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yes.
So Giannis is the next best hope, if there is any hope.
Yeah,
a glimmer.
Listen, we've got some of the greatest Greek restaurants.
It's going to take more than that.
Known to man.
It's going to take more than that.
I'm saying he'd be very comfortable in this town.
He would. Oh, there's no doubt about it. Chicago would love Giannis. Chicago would adore him for as long as he is still playing at a high superstar level. He's 30, but I do think he's got a lot of miles on those tires. But I do think that he still would be the kind of guy. He's not Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant, his next team is going to be where he really starts to, I think, see some decline. I don't think Giannis is there yet. Giannis might feel like he's got one more championship run in him. And he references that championship quite a bit. He also addressed his future post-game last night after the chaos.
Giannis, you've always kind of stated about wanting to win and win championships and winning a second championship and how important it is to you. Do you think that you can still win that second championship here in Milwaukee after a third straight first round exit?
Look, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I know how this is going to go. Whatever I say, I know how it's going to translate. I don't know, man. I wish I was still playing. I wish I was still competing and going back to Milwaukee. I don't know.
All I heard was, I don't know. That's all I heard.
He can't say anything.
I said, I don't know.
It'll come across as if there's nothing he can say.
Okay, you want to know what I heard?
Give it to me.
I heard, I don't know about my future, so I don't want to say anything that's going to dictate the one way or another. I don't want it to be misinterpreted. And I didn't hear him say, I'm excited about returning to Milwaukee and bringing another title to the Bucks. That's what I heard. That's what I didn't hear. So as long as he kept the door open, it's ajar. The door is ajar, Molly. You're the Bulls. You are mired in mediocrity. You are spinning. You are running in place. You're on that NBA treadmill. I don't know how you get off it unless something dramatic happens, unless something creative is tried. I'm realistic. I mean, I'm not, this is fun to consider because it is like fantasy land, but it is the NBA, and we have seen really dramatic things happen that we don't expect. Maybe this will be one of them.
Tell Giannis that, you know, we'll pick him up in Racine, and then we just head straight down, you know, get off at Tui in Lincolnwood, and Pistaria, I believe, is the name of this place that Pete is they have the best chicken kebab known to man. He eats that, and then he just says, it doesn't matter, I'll play for free. I'll play for food. That's how good the place is. What do you think?
Maybe. Can't hurt.
Oh, my God. I mean, you don't even have to go to Greek Town.
I would rather present him with a basketball plan and a competitive roster.
Yes.
And an opportunity to make one last run at a title that's realistic. Whatever team he joins is going to feel like they have him, they've got a chance. They have him, they will build around him to chase whatever it is they're chasing. If the Lakers and the Heat can always be mentioned in these conversations, I think it's fair to wonder, in Chicago, a world-class city with the tradition that the Bulls are proud of, why can't it be the Bulls ever? Why do we settle for saying they'll never do that? They can't do that. This is Chicago. Yeah, you know what? This is Chicago. Why not the Bulls?
I was reading recently that the next week, I believe, the NHL draft will have a two-part lottery that will determine where you pick. I don't know when the NBA lottery is.
May 12th.
Okay. So, like, let's go.
I believe it's May 12th.
Let's go. Let's get this thing.
Wait.
I'm saying.
Okay. Which is greater? This is tomorrow's pick six. Dustin, take notes.
Yes, please.
Which has a greater chance of happening? The Bulls winning the NBA lottery.
Got to happen.
Or.
Make it happen.
The Bulls acquiring Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I feel like one could lead to the other. So you get, you got Milwaukee, like, hey, what are we going to do?
You're connecting those dots. That's interesting.
I'm telling you.
Lay the case. Make the case.
We will give you this, this, and this for Giannis. And one of the things could be a surprise draft pick from somebody or something else. Maybe it's not. I don't know that you give up Cooper Flagg.
I don't think you'd give up Cooper Flagg.
No. I think you'd take him for
yourself.
What
if you have third pick?
But it doesn't even matter if it's their pick. You tell them, hey, you can have our number one picks for the next couple of years, right?
Two ones. Kobe White.
Kobe, I'll throw
in Patrick Williams.
Well, Patrick Williams, you're just trying to dump salary. Oh, and by the way, won't give me a Patrick Williams.
Hold on, okay.
I don't know that they want
Now we're talking, Mully.
And I like Pat. But
now we're cooking with hot grease.
You can't. Now we're going to make some popcorn if we're cooking with hot grease. And by the way, we're having a part. Anyway, this is the possibility of you give away pretty much, but you keep Flagg and Bezelis and Giannis. Give them. You can.
If
give
you
them
had Flagg,
Vooch.
Bezelis,
Vooch.
And Giannis, it's a much different conversation in Chicago.
Yeah, and now all we're having now we're talking about possibility and. And you know what? You know who should be working on this right now as we speak is the commissioner of the NBA.
Yes, I agree.
Get this done.
This NBA fantasy basketball segment was brought to you by...
But I hate the idea that, no, he's got to go. No, you know, you might be able, if you give up enough, maybe we'll give you, you know, an out-of-shape player who can blow out his shoe and have a bad... He's played half the games that he could potentially play, but you'll fall in love with him.
Well, keep an eye on the Giannis situation. That's all I'm saying before we get
like
to Chelly.
Like Giannis. I like that idea. And we got to get to Chelly, and we got to ask him. We got to break down this job and who is the guy you pursue, and are they going to pursue an NHL guy, or are they going to stick with the college route because maybe that is easier to get done and you aren't really going to go toe-to-toe with every team in the NHL?
We'll ask Chelly.
There are eight teams looking for a coach. Mm-hmm. Chris Chelios next, Mully and Haw on the Score.
Chris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score!
BetMGM ambassador. The sportsbook born in Vegas.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Chris Chelios joins us now, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Please gamble responsibly. And Chris joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Hey, Chris, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
You know, we're wondering about the fact that there are now eight coaching vacancies in the NHL. And, you know, we know that David Carl withdrew from consideration for the Blackhawks coaching job. They had offered him a big deal, and it's kind of, you know, as aggressive as they are, they're now in competition with seven other franchises to get the next coach. Who do you believe they should go for? Are they trying to stay out of the head coaching, you know, previous candidates in order to avoid competing with everyone? Are they likely to go with a college coach? What do you think?
Well, right off the top, I thought I'd mentioned it earlier three weeks ago, that, and not a knock against Anders Sorensen. I think he did a great job. I just don't think the players, you know, that even though a few of them might have had him in Rockford, he didn't have that respect that, you know, a veteran coach would have. And I still think we should have a veteran coach, somewhat similar to when Quenville took over. You know, those young guys, all those draft picks, had a couple years under their belt, and that's where I think we're at right now. So you see who's available: Sullivan, Laviolette, guys that have won, guys that had a lot of success. I don't have the list in front of it. Those two guys come to mind off the top of my head.
Those are two good names. Mike Sullivan was part of the Hawk organization, Shelly, back in 2015. He's available now because he parted ways with the Penguins. How about Rick Tocchet? Does he resonate? Jeff Blashill coached the Red Wings. Also, Jay Woodcroft had a stint with the Oilers. Those are three guys whose names will be on a list as well.
Again, good coaches. I played, you know, I coached with Blashill. Tocchet, that's another guy. He's had success, right? He's won cups. He's got a look when he looks at you and says something, it sinks in pretty deep. I love the way he coaches. So he'd be another great candidate, I think, Rick Tocchet. I've known him for a long time, and he gets the most out of his players. Woodcroft, I don't know. Again, he's not a guy that players might, you know, hear his voice like another veteran guy or a player like Tocchet. But they're all good candidates for sure. You saw, you know, Blash was working underneath John Tooper over in Tampa. Unfortunately, what happened in that last game, it was just – not to go on a different tangent, but the refereeing is, again, consistently inconsistent.
Chelly, I think when you look at their inability to land David Carl, if he was their top choice, and it sounds like they made him a multi-year, multi-million dollar offer that was lucrative and he wants to stay at Denver, you can respect that. But if they weren't able to close the deal for whatever reason, if they need somebody who's a closer, would you ever consider getting involved in being part of the search, part of the group that tries to attract the next head coach because of the reasons you just described? You know what you're looking for, and you know what you have when you find it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'd love to be involved in some of the hockey ops, and it's been my choice. You know, because I played the 48, I kind of missed that window of coaching, and then I had the luxury in Detroit of just being at home, being on the ice at the home practices, and coaching alongside Tony Granato, basically a part-time job, which – it's a luxury. It's not fair to the other coaches, but, you know, when they wanted my input, I gave it. And if they used it, fine. If they didn't, and it was a great, you know, I thought it was a great role that I played with those guys. And I'd love to teach the young D and be part of the, you know, the hockey ops. And I've had that conversation with Danny Wirtz, and I hope to have it again this summer. Because at the end of the day, I do love coaching. It's just the grind, right? I've got grandkids, obligations, and I don't think I could get back in that groove of traveling, you know, a full season, and it's a big commitment for me at that point in my life. But as far as, you know, I'm in Chicago, I'm always around the rink, and I'd love to, you know, if they want some input, I'm ready to give it to them.
That's great stuff, Chris. And, you know, I think that as we look at this, I think the fear that you have is that they've got so many young players on the way. You need a veteran hand. You need somebody that knows the NHL.
Been there, done that.
Exactly. And that's kind of what we're hoping for here. And, you know, Joe Quenville, you know, you say what you want. It was very difficult to make that transition from Dennis Savard to Joe Quenville, but it proved to be a pretty wise move, and it proved to work pretty well.
Yeah, and I think we're right at that point with the draft picks that are here now and the next few that are coming. You're exactly spot on. I mean, that's what I feel too. So, hopefully, I said, they know what they're doing. You know, I think Kyle Davidson, there's a lot of pressure on him, obviously, to make the right choice this time. But I think we're going to get a good veteran coach. And the good thing is we got some options. There's some really good ones out there right now.
Great stuff, Chris. Thanks a ton.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That is Chris Chelios. We're going to talk to Joshua Perry next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.